Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Please turn to chapter 37. Here it talks about Joseph being sold. And obviously after Joseph has been sold, the brothers, you know, had to return to face his father Jacob. All right, now we see that the lies have been told. Okay, read verse 31. And so they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goat, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Verse 32. Then they sent a tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their fathers and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" You know, in those days, they don't have this, what we call a forensic investigation or whatever. All right, it is your son tunic. Okay, it's like, you know, cheating the father, yeah, saying that the son has been devoured by, you know, some sort of wild beast or whatever. Okay, and you know, obviously, without a shadow of doubt, Joseph must have been torn to pieces, right? Now, so you can you see this thing here? It's gone. You know, hatred developed into murderous intent, and in order to cover up, yeah, and they came out with what? With all sorts of lies and, you know, and falsehood, yeah, just to defend themselves. Now, I think they have forgotten one thing, right? Their action actually grieved the father, right? Now, so you find that the children of Jacob, yeah, continually cause a lot of grief to him. Dinah is one example, and then what happened? Reuben slept with his wife, is another. Yeah, and Simeon and Levi killed all the Shechemite. Right? So it's hard to imagine, you know, how the old man would face it. I think, you know, when you look at the latter part of the book, yeah, he actually was so grieved, right? He was very grieved. Now, I want you to look at verse 34. Then Jacob tore his cloth, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son in many days. And all his son and all the daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in the morning." Thus his father wept for him. Now, we can see all the pretenses, how pretentious, we said, you know, the children of Jacob have been. They knew full well that they sold, you know, Joseph, and here they pretended that, you know, they also were in bereavement, yeah, for Joseph. Lies, betrayal, pretenses, you name it. Yeah, all the vices can be found in the family of Jacob. All of them, practically, right? Now, so obviously the father was so much grieved, yeah, that, you know, he even wept for Joseph. Now, we always say if a parent were to attend, you know, the funeral service of his children or of her children, that is the most saddest things on earth, right? So, now, you find that judging from the latter part of Genesis, actually, ever since he heard about Joseph's death, or actually is Joseph a disappearing, he was like a living dead, right? Now, I want you to read a verse. Huh? Who was it? Okay, we read chapter 45. Now, I want you to read verse 27, yeah? Chapter 45, verse 27. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, And when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. So meaning he has been like a living dead for how long? Okay, assume that Joseph was sold at the age of 17. When was the first time that he met the father after he had been sold? After how many years? After how many years? Hey? Fourteen. That's not the answer. I can tell you more than 10 years. So okay, let me teach you mathematics. Huh? Very simple. You know, 2 minus 1 = 1. That kind of thing. You know? Okay, so he was what? He was sold at the age of 17. Now, when was he? When did he rise to power? 30, yeah? So 30 minus 17? 13, yeah? Okay. Now, during the first 7 years, it was what? It was good harvest, yeah? So the father did not go and see him. So plus 7, 13 plus 7, 3 plus 7, 10. 10, very good. So 1 plus 1?
2.
Okay, 20. So when did they go down to Egypt? When did the brothers go down to Egypt?
2 years.
That means, huh? So, plus 2, 22, and then? Then after, maybe after another year, isn't it? So then the father went down, yeah? So it's at least 23 years. You can imagine an old person lived like a living dead for 23 years. Who caused that? The brothers. Very inconsiderate, right? Why? They never thought about the feeling of the father. Now, class, you need to remember this real well. Okay? Now, if you have a problem with your sibling or with your cousin, with your relative or whatever, remember that whatever action you take, yeah, could have a very serious repercussions on your parents. You understand what I'm saying? Don't tell yourself that this has nothing to do with my parents, this is purely my own act. Right? Now, see what happened to Jacob. That caused him to grieve for at least 23 years, like a living dead. I don't know how he survived. You know, you can imagine each day when he woke up, obviously he would think about Joseph. Yeah. Can you imagine that kind of pain and suffering and sorrow? Huh? You know, sometimes we have to be, we must not be too selfish. We only think about ourselves. No. That's why the children of God must be mature enough to think for others. Every move, every actions in my life can have what an impact on others. Right? Be it a positive impact or an adverse impact on others. We need to bear this in mind. But don't be too selfish. Only think for ourselves. I do what I want to do. I don't care about, you know, what other people think about me. But that is being very selfish. Right? Now, we live in the community of faith. We live in our families. So, you know, due consideration must be given to those who are around us. Especially those who love you and your parents. Right? Is that clear? I think I'm a very long-winded person. I keep repeating this to you. You know, until you even dream about it. Every time when you sleep, this preacher FF always tell me this way. So it sink deep into your mind. Okay? Because we don't want to hear complaint again from your parents. Don't want to hear anymore. You understand? You know, I tell you seriously, sometimes some of the parents, they cry though. They cry, I'm telling you. Because of the children, they cry. They cry, they make me sad, I don't know what to do. Okay, we come back. Now we move to chapter 39, yeah? Chapter 39, a new phase of life, yeah, for Joseph. Now, here he was made a slave, yeah, in the house of Potiphar. He was sold by the people, yeah, the buyer to this Potiphar. Huh? Okay, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guards of an Egyptian. Yeah. Now, I want to read verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. This is very, very important. No matter where you are, you have to ensure that God is with you. Alright? Now, you find that this blessing, it was not just inward in the hearts of God, in the heart of Joseph. Actually, people around him could see it themselves. That's why in verse 3 it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Right? Can you see the tremendous blessing from God? Now, why did God give him such a blessing? Yeah, because Joseph was a God-fearing person. Alright? Now, so because of God's presence, obviously he found favor, yeah, in the sight of his master. So it's like, you know, the master, this commander of the army, trusted him so much that he practically gave everything over to the care, under the care of Joseph. Just do what you want, I trust you so much. That kind of thing, right? Okay? Now, so you can imagine a young guy like Joseph, yeah, maybe 18 or 19 years old then, right? Now, was entrusted with such a tremendous task, yeah, to look after what? To look after the house of Potiphar. Now, we need to remember, it's not a small house, you know. He is the commander of the army, right? It's like he was a very powerful person. Yeah, now, plus, remember I told you, a shepherd boy, how do you spell shepherd?
Yeah, I know.
Shepherd boy. Now he is slave, but he was entrusted with what? With the chore, with the affair of Potiphar's house. The training has started, yeah, for Joseph. Pay attention to this, okay? Now, again, I said this is not a small family, okay? It's more, it's a big one. With a lot of servants, you know, around. Okay. Now, look at it again. Verse 4, yeah? Now, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put under his authority. He was an overseer. Right? So in the house of Potiphar, he was an overseer. 那中文是什么? 总管还是什么? 第四节? 什么? 第四? 管理家里啊? 就这样? 不是很准欸? An overseer. 总干事 overseer 他是管理所有的 ok now we look at verse 5 yeah? And so it was from the time that he has made him overseer of his house all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he was a blessing to others. Is that not so? So wherever he was, God's blessing was given to the people around. Now I'll ask you a question. Do your friends experience the blessing of God because of your presence? Do they experience God's blessing because of your presence? Your friends? Your what? Your colleagues? Okay. That's the difference, yeah? Right? So, we find that this is our duty. Wherever we are, we should be able to extend the blessing of God to others. Right? And this is quite wonderful, yeah? Now, but problems arose here. Now, and it came to pass, test come, a temptation came. And it came to pass after this thing that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." How does a person cast longing eyes? Can someone show me? How do you... You're good at that. How do you do that? Bad girl. I'll tell your parents. Liam, be serious. I'm asking the sisters, not you. Okay, now we come back. Now, class, I think to most people, this proved to be irresistible. Yeah? Is it not so? Class, I know, please. Or shall I just skip this, forget about this? So I don't have to go on. Okay, I think to most people, this will prove irresistible, okay? It's too huge a temptation not to succumb to. Is that also? Yeah? Okay? That's the kind of thing. But Joseph, you find that he was a God-fearing person. Yeah? Now, I want you to understand this. This lady here is not just a common lady, right? And she was the master's wife. So whatever she said, obviously anyone who is subordinate to her must listen to her. You get what I'm saying? And Joseph refused to heed, you know, whatever she said to him. Okay, now, so you find that again the moral standard there was virtually not there. Put it this way. Now, verse 9, but he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. Right? There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Right? That is the one. The reverence of Joseph towards God. Right? So if you have this fear of God in you, then you will not be tempted to sin. Okay? No, he was what? He was someone who was so great in the house, apart from the master, that, you know, no one actually was above him apart from the master. Right? And here we see that he showed great reverence towards God. Now you can imagine, if you were in the shoes of Joseph, you have been sold, yeah, to Egypt, and obviously, you know, in your mind, yeah, this this feeling of betrayal is always within you. You feel very angry with yourself sometimes, you know, stuff like that. You know, people under this kind of circumstances can easily give up their faith. They can easily sin against God. They might say that since God does not do anything about it, forget about God. I just do what I want to do. Right? But for Joseph, he was completely different. Okay? And he even said, How can I sin against God? Yeah? Now, so you find that this lady is very persistent in doing evil. Yeah. So it, she is a real temptress. A lady is called temptress. A man is called tempter. Or she is a seductress. Right? Trying to lure Joseph into sinning with her. That kind of thing. Right? Now, so Joseph just ignore her. Now, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside. You know, she was there already. And she caught him by his garment. It's like she wanted to do it by force. Yeah? And so sad, you see, she turned mad, she turned crazy. Alright? And this thing can happen. Alright? Now, so you find that Joseph, again, did not give in to her. So he ran away. Unfortunately, he left his garment behind. Right? And that was like a proof, you know, to accuse, some sort of proof, to accuse that Joseph was trying to what? To defile her. Okay? Now, so the event has taken a turn for the worse, it seemed, for Joseph, and so he was imprisoned. Now, you need to understand that when he was put in the prison, it's not just a normal prison. The Bible actually said, the English version said, it was a dungeon. Yeah? Now, I want you to read verse chapter 40, verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. It's not a prison. You know, dungeon is very different from a prison, yeah? And within a prison, your prison cells, you still have some limited movement, okay? But I can imagine this, if you are a guy in a dungeon, have you seen terrorists captured by the USA in what? Guantanamo Bay. You know, the chain like this, and the stock here. Dungeon. You can't move freely. And you cannot imagine, you know. This guy here, was put into the dungeon. Okay, now, this is the life of Joseph. I'll come back to this. Right? Now, so, he was a beloved son in the family. Beloved son, yeah? Son and slave. And now, criminal. Right? Now, you find that, if I can put it this way, his descending in status was not caused by himself. It was not because of any wrongs that he has done. Right? And this one because of what? Hatred from his brother. And this one? Well, how can I put it? Temptation. Resisting temptation. He did not fall into temptation, okay? Now, why did God allow him to go through this? It's like descending in status. From being a beloved son, he became a slave, and then he became a top criminal. And this dungeon actually is one of the palace dungeons. When you read, you know, Daniel. 中文是讲什么? Dungeon, 不是dungeon. 建议不准的。 单卷是讲地什么地牢 right? Can you imagine? How would you feel if you were Joseph? Obviously he said forget about God. Why should I worship God anymore? Right? Okay. Let's continue with the stories. I want to read verse 21, yeah? Again, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Even in the dungeon or in the prison, you find that the Lord was with him. Right? Now, we can say that in the most difficult of circumstances, yet God did not fail to abide with him. That is the most important and precious things in the life of a Christian. Right? It's not about what you have, to be honest. It's not about where you are. Yeah? It's not about what you have done. It's about having God with you in your life that matters the most. Okay, that is the most important thing. Right? So we must reach this level of understanding. Right? Very, very important. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now you could, you know, sometimes life is so unpredictable, you know, unpleasant event can spring out surprises, right? Beyond your expectation. You know, what can you do? What are you going to do? Yeah. Insofar as you remain God fearing, yeah, then you find that God shall be with you. Yeah, that is the most important part of our life. You know, everything else is not very important, to be honest about it. If I know that God is with me, my heart is peaceful, you know, in the sight of God, I'm satisfied. Right? It's not about what you have, how much money you have, you know. But sometimes it's just unavoidable, you know, to face with unpredictable events in life. Okay? Now, we go on. Now, so again, God's help with Joseph. Yeah? And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. All the prisoners, whatever they did there, it was his doing. It's like Joseph took over the work of the prison. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Okay. Now, you find that this part of his life here is similar to this part. The only thing is that the condition has become worsened. But the condition here was really bad. Okay. Now, I want you to remember what we said early on. Right. Shepherd boy. Now he is what? A slave here. Even though he's a slave, but he turned into an overseer. Yeah? And here, he's in the prison, criminal. And we say what? He's a warden. Yeah? Chief warden. Meaning? He look after all the affairs in the prison or in the dungeons. Okay? Now, why did God allow him to do that? You find that here he has to manage a lot of people. Okay, how many we do not know? Yeah? Learn how to manage people within a big confine, right? Or a big organization, right? Put it in a modern term. Now here, you find that he has to deal with what? The worst sinner, if I can put it this way. You know, it's not easy to deal with these people in a way God was training him to what? To acquaint himself with dealing with difficult cases. And so when he rose to power, he knew how to what? To deal with different sort of individuals in the country. That is the preparation for God. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, obviously, at that point in time, Joseph did not understand why he was put in those situations. It's hard to understand. But because we know the story, when we read the story, we begin to understand why God has done so. Right? Now, that's why, you know, class, we need to have this belief in God. Sometimes there are things that we cannot understand, including myself. There are things that I don't understand right now. Right? Now it seems so difficult, it seems so tough to face them, you know. Even to mention them is difficult enough. You understand what I'm saying? Why does God put us in those difficult situations? Obviously there must be a good purpose for those who fear Him. Okay? So if we fear Him, if God is with us, then we shall emerge victorious and we shall emerge a better Christian. That's our faith. Right? Is that clear? That's the story, yeah? All right, now, we move on. Now, so here it says that the Lord made it prosper. So whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now, so judging from what we have read, if you turn back to chapter 39, now I want you to look at, what is it? Okay, so first look at verse 5. Verse 3, yeah? And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Okay, God caused it to prosper. Now, here it tells us a lot about this character, Joseph. Now, despite of what he had been through, he did not lose faith in God. That's why he continued to be faithful in all the things that he did. Yeah, this is very important. Right? Now, and also when he was made a criminal, and again, you find that the Bible says the Lord made it prosper, meaning he must have been very faithful in all the things that he had been entrusted to do. Right? And this is something that we need to learn from Joseph as well in our service to God. Okay? Class. Can everyone stand up, please? Stand up. So I'll sit down and talk. You stand up and listen. Otherwise, everyone is sleeping. Not everyone, at least. Sorry, those who are alert, you have to suffer together with. Okay. Sit down. Thank you. Okay. Now, come to chapter 40, yeah? Chapter 40. Now, so, you'll find that, you know, chapter 40 talks about two prisoners, yeah? They were of high, standings in the palace of Egypt, okay? One of the prisoners was the butler, and the other one the baker of the king of Egypt. Yeah? Now, because both of them, it seems that had offended the king, right? So, you know, they were put in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, yeah, in the prison, and the place where Joseph was confined. Now, I want you to look at verse 6, yeah? And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them, and saw that they were sad. You know, so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" So it's quite, you know, it's not humorous, but it's quite. Actually, Joseph was in the same boat, isn't it? He was put into the prison, and here we find that he was able to what? He was able to encourage them, right? Encourage them, you know, like saying, why were you sad? So obviously they told Joseph about the dreams that they had, right? Now I want you to look at verse 8, you know? Look at the reply from Joseph. And they said to him, "We each have a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretation belongs to God. Tell them to me, please." Alright? Now, here we see the fear of God in the hearts of what? Joseph. He was gifted the wisdom and talent to interpret, you know, dreams and vision or whatever. This is like a kind of supernatural power. But you find that he was a very humble person. Yeah. Now he attributed all the power to God. Yeah? It was God, you know, who made him, you know, who gave him this power to interpret. That's why he said, do not interpretations belongs to God. Okay? Now, so you find that, yeah, again, when you look at the diagram, the beautiful diagram on the whiteboard, yeah, with some nice handwritings on it, okay? So you find that, yeah, he had been through so much. You know, when a person has been through so much, his heart, if he is a believer of God, you find that his heart always remain humble. That is very important. Okay? Now, how can we have humility? We always tell people that we need to have humility without going through trials and tribulation. It's difficult to see that we can become humble. Right? Now, so Joseph became, you know, the interpreters of the dreams of what? Of the two officers of Pharaoh. Okay, so they told him about the dreams and then the interpretations, yeah? It says, now I'm going to read verse 13. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Right? Now, so Joseph was saying that, you know, according to the dream given by the butler, he would be restored to his former position, yeah, in the palace of the king. Now, I also want you to read verse 20. Verse 19. Yeah. Now, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now, whatever Joseph has said about these two officers, yeah, came to pass. It's true enough. Yeah, the king restored the chief butler, but he killed what, the baker. Yeah. Now, think about this. Yeah, Joseph was so powerful. Okay? Was so powerful. Everything, you know, was given to him. Yeah, was under his charge. Was under his control. Yeah. Now, do you think he enjoyed being a prison warden? You think he enjoyed doing that? No. Actually, deep in his heart, there is still this sense of what? Sense of anguish, or sense of inability to understand why he was sold. Okay, now I want you to read chapter 40, verse 14. Yeah? But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to the Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. He didn't enjoy being there, I tell you. Right? Now, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. Okay? He didn't enjoy it at all. Not even for, what, a tiny moment. I don't think he enjoyed it at all. That's why he said, please, don't forget to mention it to Pharaoh so that I can leave this place. Okay? Now, very unfortunately, actually, again, you can see this is the plan of God. Yeah. Now, verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Alright? Now, I think it's quite clearly here, it tells us that Joseph desires to be released, yeah, has not been granted, yeah, in a way that, you know, he wanted it to be. I put it this way, okay? Now, the thing is, sometimes we desire God to do something about our plight, our difficult situations or whatever, but that may not be the timing of God, yeah? Right? That's why we need to trust in God. Okay? Now, when we least expect, you know, a certain thing to happen, and you find that, hey, God does it in a very mysterious way, right? And our wish is granted. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so roughly, this is chapter 40. I have to end on time because
my lesson ends here. Any questions? Or chapter 40.
So, class, the moral lesson is that, okay, it doesn't matter who, where we are, what has happened to us, right? The important thing is we need the presence of God in our life. That is the most important thing, right? I think beside that, yeah, nothing else, you know, should appear too important to us. Okay. Right. I'm happy to go. Almost come to an end. I'm so happy. Yeah, especially me. Okay. Any question? No? Let's pray. Mm-hmm.